Our lesson tonight is out of Mark chapter 13, verses 3 to 8. Heeding Christ's warnings about coming deceptions. When Jesus predicted the destruction of the Herodian temple in Mark chapter 13, 1 and 2, that destruction also typified the end time destructions that are yet to occur in the future Great Tribulation period. As such, Jesus instructed his followers in both eras on preparing for such events. And he did so in Mark chapter 13, verses 3 through 8. I'd like to read the passage, and then we'll look at it. Mark 13, beginning at verse 3. And as Jesus sat upon the Mount of Olives over against the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled?" Speaking of the things of the falling of the temple, where not one stone will be left on the other. And Jesus answering them began to say, "Take heed, lest any man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, 'I am Christ,' and shall deceive many. And when you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be not troubled, for such things must needs be. But the end shall not be yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes in various places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are just the beginnings of sorrows." Okay, after Jesus predicted the destruction of the temple in Mark 13, 1 and 2, some of his disciples asked him when it would occur and what sign would indicate the fulfillment was about to take place. Interesting, there are two questions. The first one is, when is this going to occur, and then what is the sign? Well, very typical of the ancient Near East, Jesus answered in a figure of speech known as a chiasmus. He answered number two first, and then he went back to question one. And so he just reversed the order. That's very, very classic format. So Jesus answered the second question first, warning against false signs in the future in verses 5 to 13, together with future events, especially end-time Great Tribulation events that lead up to a second coming in verses 14 to 27. And then he answered his disciples' first question in the when in verse 4a in a closing parable in Mark chapter 13, 28 to 32. So regarding the disciples' question about the sign of future events, in Mark 13, 3 to 8, Jesus gave believers two warnings about future events, be they in the church era or in the future Great Tribulation period. Apparently what Jesus was talking about, see, the disciples didn't think that there was a break between the destruction of the temple, which we know occurred in 70 AD, and the second coming of Christ. They didn't know about the thousands of years in between. So Jesus is looking at it from their perspective. And so some of these events are running together, things that occur in the church age currently. And some of these events are events that are occurring in the Great Tribulation. And so we need to keep that in perspective. Now we can tell the difference between the Great Tribulation events and the events that occur in our era, because the Great Tribulation events are much different. The suffering is much greater. You have the entire oceans turning into blood, for example. You have comets coming in and hitting the earth, unlike what we have for the most part in the church era. So we can discern this as well. First of all, Jesus warned about false messiahs, and these occur both in our era as well as in the future Great Tribulation period. He warned his disciples about people who might lead them astray. The Greek word is planao, which is to lead someone astray, like you would lead sheep astray, to lead them away from the truth that is in Christ and in God's word. Now, this misleading would occur in the form of many people who would arise in Jesus' name claiming, "I myself am," or "am he." It's the Greek words, ego eimi, and this statement was a claim to deity that was spoken by God to Moses in Exodus 3:14, and was later used by Jesus in John 8, verse 58. In John 8, 58, Jesus said, "Before Abraham was, ego eimi, I myself am." And that's a claim to be the I am God of Exodus chapter 3, verse 6 through 14 and whatnot. So there were going to be messiahs coming. Now we've had a number of messiahs. Reverend Sung Myung Moon of the Unification Church, he came along and said that Jesus was a messiah, but he failed to be a complete messiah. So he, Reverend Sung Myung Moon, is going to be the perfect messiah. And what he's going to do is marry and have perfect offspring and usher in the Messianic kingdom. Well, I think Reverend Moon, he might have died already, I'm not sure. But of course, that's false. But there have been any number of people presenting themselves as messiahs. Muhammad didn't present himself as a messiah, but Muhammad presented himself as one who was supplanting Christ. Jesus was a prophet, but Muhammad is the greater prophet. So you have Muhammad sort of taking that role as well. And we've had any number. Jim Jones, remember, out in Guyana and the terrible things that happened there. He presented himself. In fact, at one point, he took the Bible, threw it down on the floor. He said, "You don't believe that." And he stepped on the Bible, "Believe me instead of that." And the people at that point were so deceived, they did. They believed him. And when it came to taking the poisonous Kool-Aid, they took it and they died. So there have been a large number of false Christs. And so we should expect there to be more of these. This misleading would occur in the form of many who would rise in Jesus' name claiming I am he, or claiming to be God, or God come in the flesh. Now Jesus also warned his followers about misrepresenting negative events. This occurs both in the church era and in the future Great Tribulation era. And to misrepresent or misinterpret negative events to be end time events, when in reality they would be acts of judgment, where God would be at work to seek to get men to repent regarding the claims of Jesus Christ. Now, both in the current church era and in the early part of the post-rapture Great Tribulation era, Jesus predicted that there would be wars and reports of wars that were far away. The word rumor here is not a rumor in the sense of a rumor that you would have an earthquake and there would be an aftershock as a rumor. But this would be a report of a war somewhere else. We have reports of wars and fightings and struggles that are going on. We hear about ISIS and struggles that are going now, and ISIS in Syria and so forth. But there have been wars. There have been World War I, World War II, Korea, Vietnam, Iraq. I mean, there have been. Our country has been involved in a number of conflicts and wars. But there have been wars all along. Some people back in World War II were thinking that Adolf Hitler was the Antichrist. There were a large number of Christians who were claiming that. And the Christians were really bothered over that. And people like Dr. Lewis Berry Chafer at Dallas Seminary said, no, the rapture hasn't occurred, so he can't be the Antichrist. And so he stood out saying, Hitler is not the Antichrist. He's going to come to an end. And sure enough, he did. Came to an end. And by 1945, we were out of World War II. So there are going to be wars and reactions of wars. And these are parts of God's judgment on the world. And it's interesting that believers, both in the church era and in the early part of the Great Tribulation era, were not to be troubled in mind or frightened or alarmed. The Greek word thro'eo means not to be bothered in your mind or frightened or alarmed when you hear these things occur. For it was necessary. The Greek word de'e means by divine compulsion, that such events occur as a consequence of human rebellion and sin. I remember when we had 9/11 in 2001, I believe it was, there were people that started showing up for our church thinking that the end of the world was near because these planes flew into the World Trade Center and they went down. And people thought, you know, we're at the end of the world. And they came and they showed up. They wanted to know what's coming next. Is the world going to be destroyed and so forth? And we went ahead and we had to teach them, no, we're not supposed to be bothered. But that was a consequence of sin. I believe the Lord allowed that to occur because he was trying to wake America up. I mean, for many, many years, America has been involved in the idolatry of commercialism and departing from the Lord. We've kicked prayer out of schools, kicked God out of schools. We've promoted evolution over creation, promoted abortion on demand in 1973 at the Supreme Court. I mean, after a while, it's amazing that we weren't judged earlier. It's amazing. But these are things that are necessary to occur as a consequence of human rebellion and sin. Nevertheless, the end time trauma will still not yet have arrived, according to verse 7. Jesus then explained that the kinds of events that must occur before the end time, both in many cases in the pre-rapture church era as well as in the early stage of the Great Tribulation era, and he described them in verse 8 actually. Nation literally shall be raised, this is a passive voice, and it indicates God is doing this. Nation shall be raised up against nation by God, and kingdom shall be raised up against kingdom as acts of divine judgment for rebellion and sin among the nations. It's not a mistake that wars occur. It's judgment from God. And it's amazing sometimes how these wars occur and how they rise up. Nations started in World War I, for example, they started pairing up with one another in all these treaties. So all you had to do is have the assassination of some Duke Ferdinand off in Serbia somewhere, and it started a chain reaction that threw everybody into World War I. And that was all set up by God. It was judgment on the nations because they had departed from the Lord. In fact, liberal theology had started to spread very rapidly around the time of World War I or just before it, where in Europe there were many, many theologians that were denying the inspiration of Scripture and promoting the spread of Darwin's ideology of evolution, and they were applying that to the Bible, saying the Bible evolved. A bunch of stories that were just thrown together by different editors, so it's not God-inspired. And it's very well could be that both World War I and World War II were judgment on God because of this constant rebellion that occurred. And a lot of this started in Germany with German rationalism, and Germany suffered heavily in both worlds, Wars I and II. And it's probably largely because of the attack on the Word of God and what it's done in Western civilization. And God didn't like that at all. Then there will be earthquakes and famines in various places, all again implied due to divine judgment for man's sin and rebellion, these being the beginning of birth pangs of judgment. We had a huge earthquake, I think, was it in Nepal here, just a matter of weeks ago? A number of people lost their lives there. Well, God is using that as an event to shake people up, to get people to think seriously about the claims of Jesus Christ. God's grace in the church era is not going to just go on forever. There's coming an end time where he's got to turn up the heat in the Great Tribulation, so people need to realize this. However, these are just the start of the intense sufferings that will occur shortly before the Messianic age and before Christ's coming. That's why Jesus said in verse 8c, these are the beginnings of sorrows. Well, if we turn to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, there is a mitigating verse in regards to this. Actually, beginning at verse 8 and going to verse 9 of 2 Peter chapter 3. Peter said, "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." From God's perspective, the whole purpose of history right now is to get men to repent and believe in Christ. That's the bottom line. God's not just biding his time up in heaven, seeing what America wants to do with her political plans or what she wants to do with the healthcare crisis and all this. No, God is interested in people in the United States and around the world coming to believe in Christ. And he's long-suffering, but he doesn't want anybody to perish. And people, if they just get caught up in the things of this world instead of paying attention to coming to Christ, then God allows them to get shaken up. He says, "Wait a minute. You got to believe in my son." So here comes the earthquake, or here comes a war that God raises up to judge people. So God is long-suffering in our era, seeking to get all men to repent, according to 2 Peter 3:9. So these beginnings of birth pangs for the world will occur as divine warnings and calls for men to repent regarding Christ. So we have an application here. Jesus wanted his followers to know that future events, be they in the current church era or in the Great Tribulation era after the church is raptured or taken to heaven, they will be marked by misleading messiahs who claim to be God, coupled with wars, rumors about wars, and natural catastrophes designed by God to get the world to repent regarding the truth. So instead of being misled or alarmed, God wants his people in either the church era or the Great Tribulation that is coming after the rapture to hold the Bible truth and to be settled in thinking and living, anticipating his deliverance. So may we hold firmly to Bible truth to avoid being misled and not be alarmed at negative world events. I remember after 9/11 had occurred. 9/11 had occurred on September 11 was a Tuesday that day, I believe it was. So we had a prayer meeting on the 12th. The prayer meeting was packed. In fact, we had one lady actually sitting on the piano bench because there were no more seats. And people showed up. And when Dr. Kate showed up here sometime later, he said, I would imagine when you had your prayer meeting after 9/11, you had a lot of people show up for prayer meeting. He said, that's happened all over the country. Because people all of a sudden, they felt the need to show up. We had one lady that showed up. She was a believer, but she still attended the Roman Catholic Church. But I think it's the only time she actually came to one of our services. She felt the need to go to church somewhere. So she showed up. And we preached out of Luke chapter 13 about the tower falling on people and why it fell. And Jesus explained it. There are various catastrophes that occurred. One, Pilate mingled the blood of the Galileans with their sacrifices. Why did that happen? Jesus explained it. These things, those people who died in those events weren't any more wicked than anybody else. But if you don't repent, you're going to perish the same way. So these are all sample expressions of the judgment of God to wake the world up, to jar the world. So we need to keep aligned with this. I was talking with one of our members in the fellowship hall today following the service, and she was grateful for the fact that we touched upon this issue of climate change again. She knew that we'd already taken a stand that this business of getting all worried about climate change, it's not true. The Bible is very clear, Genesis 8:22, that's not going to happen. In other words, we're going to have moderate enough climate so that harvesting and sowing will continue. But she said, I really am appreciative of the fact that you went ahead and covered that again, because we are getting bombarded with this out in the world. They're trying to brainwash us to believe that unless we cut back on emissions here or there, that there's going to be this catastrophe. But she says we can see through it, because in China, they're not putting any skids on China. And China is burning coal left and right without cutting back on any of the emissions. It's terrible what they're doing. They're letting them do that because the design is they want these underdeveloped countries to go ahead, even if they're polluting the atmosphere, and gain, and for the developed countries to go down, because they want to spread the wealth around. That's the real goal. The real goal, they know there's not a real climate change issue, but they're trying to use this as a means of getting people to the developed countries to lose more of their money and the undeveloped countries to gain more of their money. So there's a very false motive that is involved. In fact, I actually saw this in an article in the Wall Street Journal, that's one of the goals that they have. This is a goal that was actually stated by an official on climate change in the United Nations. Came right out and spoke and said this particular goal. But as believers, if we have the Word of God, we can be settled. We don't have to get wrought up about this. We know that this whole climate change push is false. Genesis 8:22, God has already promised we're going to have sowing, we're going to have harvesting. So don't worry about it. And that keeps us free. So that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to be settled in our thinking. Just because a catastrophe occurs doesn't mean that's the end of the world at all. It doesn't mean that somehow we've missed the rapture. Sometimes believers are tempted to think that. No, we need to stay with the scriptures, avoid being misled, and we need to avoid being alarmed. But focus on the big need. What's the big need? The gospel. Just like Judy was bringing up here in the prayer request tonight, she's concerned about the discipling of her family members and Stephen and so forth, and wife and their family. This is a great idea, and I love to hear this. The requests came in this morning. People are concerned about discipling various people. That's what it's all about. God wants us to be committed to the discipline of people, because that's where His heart's at, and that's what's behind all of these issues that occur.